Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping straight into the whirlwind that is artificial intelligence. Our mission, really, is to sift through all the noise from just the last few days, pull out the key developments, and basically give you a shortcut to understanding the big shifts happening in AI right now. We're using the AI Innovations July 10th, 2025 Daily Chronicle as our guide.
And it really is a whirlwind. The speed is just incredible. You see companies pushing, adapting. It's, well, highly competitive. That pace is something we'll definitely see today.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in, starting with the models themselves. Elon Musk's XAI, they've just unveiled Grok 4, actually two models. Grok 4, and then there's the more powerful Grok 4 Heavy. And they're claiming, you know, state-of-the-art performance across the board. Let's talk benchmarks for a sec, because that's where things get interesting. Grok 4 apparently scored 25.4% on the Humanities Last Exam benchmark. That's a tough one.
Really tough tests, common sense.
Exactly. And Grok 4 Heavy, it hit 44.4% on that same test using tools. Plus, they're saying so does state-of-the-art on Arc AGI 2 and AMI 2.
Which puts them ahead of some big players like Gemini 2.5 Pro and OpenAI's O3, supposedly.
Yeah, big claims. And the pricing strategy is quite aggressive, too. Grok 4 comes with a $30 a month Super Grok subscription. But Grok 4 Heavy, that jumps way up to $300 a month with a new Super Grok Heavy plan. They're explicitly saying it's for power users and enterprises.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating here is the context, right? This comes so soon after Grok 3 kind of, well, collapsed. Remember those technical issues and the ethical problems, racist comments and whatnot?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So this rapid release of Grok 4, it really makes you wonder, is the new AI mantra basically fail fast, replace even faster?
That's a great point. Does it mean companies feel they can afford a public stumble if you have the next version ready to go almost immediately?
Or maybe it's just the sheer pressure. You have to move at this speed to stay in the game.
Could be. Technically speaking, Grok 4 is described as a single-agent AI. It's got voice, vision, and a 128K context window, which is pretty large.
Pretty standard high-end now, yeah. Allows it to handle a lot of information at once, but the Grok 4 Heavy is different. It uses multiple agents working together on complex tasks, like a team of AIs, basically, breaking down bigger problems.
And they're offering API access, too, with a huge 256K token context window for developers.
Right. So that's the raw model power. But where do these things actually, you know, show up in our lives?
Well, increasingly, it seems like the next battleground is the browser, how we interact with the web. This feels really significant. Take OpenAI. Reports say they're building a native AI browser experience. Think real-time search, content interaction.
A direct competitor to Google Search and Chrome, basically.
Yeah, exactly. They want direct access to user data, apparently using a native chat interface.
Uh-huh.
And it could even support AI agents doing tasks for you, like booking things right on the page.
And all built on Chromium, like many other browsers.
Yeah.
But what does this really mean, stepping into the web experience layer? OpenAI trying to control the whole pipeline, the input and the output for the LLM, that's quite a strategic shift.
It really is. And they're not the only ones thinking this way. Perplexity. They've already launched Comet, their own AI-powered browser.
Already out there, yeah.
And Comet's got some neat tricks, like the Comet Assistant in a sidebar that kind of watches what you're doing, answers questions, helps with emails, calendar stuff.
Mm-hmm. Context-aware help.
Right. And this Vibe Browse feature. Use natural language or your voice to navigate. Plus, it works with your existing extensions, bookmarks, Mac and Windows compatible.
You know, Chrome has had such a stranglehold on the browser market for years.
Totally dominant.
But these AI browsers, they really signal a potential shift, a big one, in how we find information, how we do things online. Perplexity is clearly betting big on these AI-native interfaces, competing directly with ChatGPT, Arc, the traditional guys.
It feels like the beginning of something new for the web. And speaking of OpenAI, just quickly, there's also that buzz about their upcoming open source model, maybe next week.
Yes, the rumored one. If it's as good as O3 Mini in reasoning, that could shake things up again on the model front, too. Lots happening there.
Okay, so models are racing, browsers are battling. Mm. But what about the real-world impact on businesses, on jobs?
Yeah.
Because that's where things get complex. Let's look at Microsoft. They recently announced they saved $500 million, in their call centers last year.
Mm.
And they're attributing it directly to productivity gains from their AI tools.
$500 million, that's a lot. But the timing, wow. That news landed just 1 week after they laid off over 9,000 employees, bringing their total job cuts this year to somewhere around 15,000 people. And remember, Microsoft also reported, what, $26 billion in quarterly profit, and they plan to invest $80 billion in AI infrastructure.
Right.
So you see this stark contrast. Wall Street cheers, obviously. But for workers, especially white-collar workers, AI's impact is becoming impossible to ignore. It's quite confronting.
It really is. And it's not just customer service roles. Look at Google. There's news that AI now writes 50% half of the code at Google.
50%. That's staggering.
Yeah, roughly half of new code is AI generated. Though they do stress, every single change still gets reviewed and approved by a human engineer.
Which is crucial, but it still raises big questions about what it means to be a software engineer now, right? AI is getting deeply embedded in their development pipelines. It seems like it's shifting the focus maybe from pure writing of code to more reviewing, refining, guiding the AI. It's definitely setting a new standard for developer tools inside these companies.
Okay, so AI is changing workflows, jobs. What about controlling the AI itself? Regulation, content moderation. Let's look at YouTube. They seem to be gearing up for a crackdown on AI-generated videos, primarily because of worries about, you know, rising misinformation.
Makes sense. There's a lot of low-quality AI stuff flooding platforms.
So on July 15th, they're changing their partner program rules. They're going to stop paying for what they call mass-produced and repetitious content. This seems specifically aimed at things like AI voiceovers without any real commentary, or those slideshow videos made of reused clips, basically, AI spam.
Right. So the upshot is creators using generative AI tools will need to be much clearer. They'll have to label their content. And platforms like YouTube, they're facing a whole new level of complexity in trying to enforce these rules.
Yeah. It's a tricky balance.
Especially since YouTube itself is also developing its own AI tools for creators. So they're kind of playing both sides there.
True. And finally, alongside content and code, there's this intense competition for people, the human talent. OpenAI seems to be on a major hiring spree, poaching top engineers.
Oh, yeah, the talent war is fierce.
We're hearing about people like David Lau, former VP at Tesla, now overseeing back-end systems at OpenAI, and Uday Rudaraju and Mike Dalton. They worked on xAI's huge Colossus supercomputer. They've joined OpenAI's scaling team. Plus, Angela Fan from Meta AI.
Look, when you connect the dots, it's crystal clear. In this AI arms race, having the smartest people, that elite human capital, that's the new silicon. It's absolutely critical.
It really is.
And it makes you wonder, how will this intense competition for talent shape where AI goes next? Which companies will lead? What breakthroughs will we see based on who gets the best minds?
High stakes, for sure. And just a couple other quick hits to mention before we wrap up. OpenAI also finalized its acquisition of Jony Ive's design firm, I.O.
Ah, the design guru.
Yeah, Ive and his team are staying independent, but working closely with OpenAI on design suggests a big push towards making AI products feel more intuitive, maybe.
Could be. User experience focus. Makes sense.
Also, AI2, that's the Allen Institute for AI, they introduced something called FlexAlmo. It's a new way to train models where data owners can contribute without actually sharing their raw data. Big for privacy.
That is interesting. Collaborative AI without giving up your data.
And finally, Google's putting Gemini into Wear OS smartwatches. So, you know, AI right on your wrist for voice commands and tasks.
AI everywhere.
Pretty much. So, okay, lots of developments. What's the bottom line here for you, our listener?
Well, I think we've seen a few key themes, right? First, just the incredible speed of AI model development. It's relentless. Grok 4 is a perfect example. Failure is fast. Replacement is faster. Second, these big strategic battles playing out, especially for the browser, for controlling how we experience the web with AI. That's fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
Third, the very real and sometimes clashing impacts on the workforce. Huge savings for companies, yes, but also significant job shifts and uncertainty for workers, that Google coding stat, the Microsoft example. And finally, this growing push for responsible AI use, like YouTube's crackdown, alongside this fierce competition for the human talent that actually builds this stuff.
So as you go about your week, maybe think about how these things might start showing up in your own life. Your browser might feel different soon. The content you see online might change. Even your job, potentially. The pace is just remarkable.
It really is. And maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. As AI reshapes, well, everything, industry's daily routines, what new responsibilities do we all have as users, as creators, as citizens? How do we guide this incredibly powerful technology towards, you know, the best possible future for everyone? Something to ponder.